Christian. Greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. For today's program, we have a returning guest to the broadcast, author and pastor Robert Sessler of Let There Be Light Ministries, which you can locate at lightministries.com. Welcome back, brother, and thank you for joining us again today. What has the Lord laid upon your heart to share with us this month?
Well, it's good to be back, brother, and I appreciate you having me. What the Lord impressed upon my heart for this particular session is something dealing with the curse of the law.
Oh, okay.
I know there's many listeners that might be having questions regarding different things that they've heard me say and you say regarding the law of God being binding today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to go over this topic, and hopefully we'll get through the material in just today's session. If not, we'll have to make it a two-parter.
Oh, that's fine with me. Let's go for it.
Paul tells us in Galatians 3:10, he says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many people stop right here, and they don't read any further.
Yeah.
But, you know, and if these words were all that Paul was trying to convey, one might be excused for believing that those who seek to obey God's Ten Commandments are under a curse.
Mm-hmm.
But in looking at it from that aspect, you miss the real point of what Paul was trying to make. Because he goes on to say in verse 10, "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So the fact of the matter is, the curse comes upon men, not because they keep the law of God, but because they have failed to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the thing I've noticed a lot, is where they do have a tendency to stop short, and they won't go into a deep, you know, explanation as to what the curse is.
Correct. So the curse is actually the curse which comes to us because of our disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Disobeying God's law is itself the curse, and of course the curse it brings is death.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, sin has death wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
Paul tells us in Romans 5:12 that it was by one man that sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So without sin, death would not exist.
Exactly.
And Paul goes on further to tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, that the sting of death is sin. So, with that said, why did Paul say that as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse? Was it because the law itself is a curse? And the answer there is no, because Paul himself acknowledges in Romans 7:12 that the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that if there was really something wrong with the law of God, then Christ would not have fulfilled it in every part.
Amen.
As we're told in John 15:10. So, again, back to the question. Why would as many as were of the works of the law be under the curse? And the answer is, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us have failed to fulfill the works of the law in our lives. And thus, anyone who would seek by good works to try and remove this curse from them would still remain under that curse. And we see the same type of principle in human laws. The laws prohibiting fraud or violence against one another are not really a curse or a type of bondage, but they're laws which ensure liberty.
Mm-hmm.
In order to prevent the blatant disregard of these laws and to ensure the rights and protection of others, there are certain penalties given for breaking of these laws.
Yep.
So while these laws speak liberty to law-abiding citizens, they speak bondage to the one who's convicted of violating them.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and once convicted of having broken the law, you may obey, you know, the law for the rest of your life, but that won't free you from having to pay the penalty for breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
So obedience does not pay our debt for having broken the law. It's only something that's expected of all good citizens in the country.
Yeah, it's just like with Christianity. A lot of people think that we keep the law to get saved, and the fact is we keep it because we are Christians. We don't keep it to get Christ as Lord. It's just a fruit of the Christian.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, this same principle is also seen in the area of traffic laws. Once convicted for breaking the speed limit, your future good driving will not remove the obligation of having to pay the fine.
No.
But it's the same thing with God's Ten Commandments. James refers to the Ten Commandments as the perfect law of liberty, there in James 1:25. And this law of God can actually be divided into two great parts. The first part, or the first four commandments, shows our relationship to God, revealing how we are to live in harmony with our Creator, who's the source of our life.
Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul.
Exactly. And the second part of the Ten Commandments, or the last six commandments, shows our relationship to other human beings.
Yeah, love your neighbors yourself.
Correct. In other words, showing how we are to live in harmony with our neighbors and those around us.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone to break even just one part of this law would place them under the curse for having broken it.
Mm-hmm.
In James 2:10, we're told, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all."
Mm.
So it is disobedience to God's law which brings the curse upon us. Now, when God brought his chosen people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt into the wilderness, he set before them two types of promises. One set of promises was based upon a course of obedience, and the other was based upon a course of disobedience. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 to 28, these two types of promises based upon obedience or disobedience was brought forth. And God said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded."
Well, that makes it pretty clear there.
Yes, so the curse came because of disobedience, and a blessing came because of obedience. And the fact of the matter is here, God did not speak these words for Israel's benefit alone, but these ten precepts apply equally to all mankind. It was not just the rights of the children of Israel that God sought to protect, but it was the rights of all peoples. And neither were the children of Israel the only segment of society that God designed to have live in harmony with these ten principles of his government.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you will never find anywhere in Paul's writings where he gives the slightest hint or suggestion that the law of God was not to be obeyed or that it had been abolished or changed. The question that Paul dealt with is not if the law should be kept, but how it was to be kept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're told in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all have broken his law, and thus there would be no possibility that any could remove their debt of sin by keeping this law in the future, no matter how good or perfect they would be. This is because the law has no way of removing guilt. There is no remedy in the law of God to remove or pardon our past sins and make us innocent. The law only condemns, points out sin, and brings the curse of death upon those who break it. So then how can anyone have their past sins forgiven and thereby be enabled to live? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 and then 24 to 28. "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." To declare his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So Paul was saying that it was through faith alone in the shed blood of Christ that we can have all of our past sins forgiven, our debt of guilt paid, this curse of death removed, and be declared innocent and righteous through the grace and righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But if you remember in verse 25, Paul said that this gift of justification through faith is only for the remission of sins that are past. In other words, it does not include any future sins that have not yet been committed. It was only for the sins of the past.
Mm-hmm.
But once we are justified by faith and are made righteous through Christ, having all our past sins forgiven, do we continue to break and make void God's law?
God forbid.
That's the question for today.
Mm-hmm.
Many recognize that by coming to Christ, they can find freedom from their past sins. They can become justified through faith alone in Christ. But the question of, do we continue breaking the law, or now can we keep the law in the strength of Christ, seems to be one that many people have not investigated into, or maybe they have just accepted what the pastor has told them or what the teacher or elder has brought before them.
Yeah.
And they haven't really thought it through. And then, of course, there's those that have thought it through and they don't like the idea of having to give up their past sins.
Yeah.
And to continue living in them.
Yeah. That's too bad, because that is the grand majority of what's going on today.
Yes, yes. But once we are justified by faith and our past sins are forgiven, does the Bible teach that we are to continue to break God's law?
No, of course not.
Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. He says, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So Paul stated here that once we are justified and our past sins are forgiven, if we should then choose to break God's law and commit sin again, then we would no longer be justified because we have made ourselves a transgressor once again.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christ has not redeemed us from the necessity of keeping the Ten Commandments, but Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us,
mm-hmm.
as
Amen.
We're told in Galatians 3:13. So, in other words, Christ has provided a way for each one of us who accept Him as our Savior to have all of our past sins forgiven, along with the curse of death removed, so that we may become justified and holy in God's sight. But this is only made possible because Christ became sin for us. He took the curse upon Himself and suffered our penalty of death.
Hmm.
And when you think about it, what amazing love is manifested by Christ doing this for each and every person on the earth.
Amen. Amen.
It is such a... There's no way that you can measure it.
No, it's not something you could put to words either.
It's extremely hard to find words in human language to portray the immensity of the love of God in providing us a way of escape from sin.
Yeah. I mean, He could have just left us to burn, you know. He could have just turned His back on us.
But He didn't. He chose the costlier plan.
Yeah.
You know, Christ has taken away the curse of the law from each one of us so that we might be justified or declared just before the Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to think about.
Amen.
You know, if you owed someone $50,000 and you had nothing to pay them, and you came before them and they wanted you to pay them, or they put you in jail and you'd be there for I don't know how long.
Yeah, quite a while.
And then you pleaded mercy from them and they said, "Okay, I forgive you the whole debt." What kind of love would that be?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of feelings would be drawn out of you towards that person?
Pretty amazing, yeah.
The Father being willing to give us His Son as the payment for our debt, And how can you put a Christ on the, how can you put a price on that?
No, you can't. You can't even compare it to the 50 grand either. But it's I understand the analogy there. It's just, it's like you said earlier, we can't, the human tongue can't express this. It's just amazing what he has done for us.
Yes. Yes, and even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like with everybody says, like it says in the scriptures as well. I mean, anybody can die for a good man or for a friend or a loved, you know, while still, well, we are considered loved ones from the Father anyway. But, I mean, just looking at the way men look at this, would they dodge or jump in front of a bullet for someone they loved? Probably. But would they do it for someone that didn't love them and didn't even care for them? That's why I look at that one verse. It says, Christ died for us while yet we were still sinners.
Yes.
You know?
That's a solemn question there, brother.
Yeah.
But Christ has taken away the curse of breaking the law from each one of us so that we can be justified and declared just before the Father. So when we read the statement in Galatians 3:11 that says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. It is important that we have a clear idea of the meaning of the word justified and just that Paul brings out. The word justified in Greek means to render just or innocent. And the word just in Greek means a person who is holy or righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So the just, or those who are holy and righteous, shall live by faith. In 1 John 5:17, we're told that all unrighteousness is sin, and in 1 John 3:4, we're told that sin is the transgression of the law. So putting those two together, we find that all unrighteousness is the transgression of the law. It is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So then it would naturally follow that all righteousness must just be the opposite. Instead of disobedience, it would be obedience to the law. So all righteousness is obedience to the law, and thus for one to be declared righteous, they must not be knowingly disregarding any precept of God's law.
And they keep, yeah, knowingly.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this is what the Apostle Paul meant when he said in Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just, and again that word just means righteous. For not the hearers of the law are just or righteous before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified,
mm-hmm.
or be righteous.
Amen.
So, on one hand, we have Paul saying that no man shall be justified by the works of the law, because the just shall live by faith. And then we have Paul saying here that it's not just the hearers of the law who are just, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, is that a contradiction?
Nope.
You're correct. It's not a contradiction. Paul was saying here that it is by faith that we have our past sins forgiven, but that faith does not give us license to continue sinning, but we must then become doers of the law so that we can live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But once we are justified from our past sins, we must be more than hearers of God's law, but we must be doers of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the big question, how can we be doers of God's law?
Yeah, it's not as many people would think. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the new covenant. It's a lot of people think that we do it on our own. You know, that's like when you look into the Old Testament where they all stood at the base of Mount Sinai and says, we will do all that the Lord has said. And yet, by the end of the, you know, by the time Moses got down off the mountain, they busted all the Ten Commandments anyway.
True.
You know? So it's not, and again, and it's nothing that man can do. So how do we keep them?
Well, that's a good question, bro. How are we to live in this new covenant period? Paul gives us a hint in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Now, we're to be crucified, but what are we to crucify?
Our old man.
Our old man.
Yeah, our old ways.
That's correct. The ways that we once thought were needful for us to live are no longer needed because we have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Our old man of sin has been put away, and the new man, the new creature, the born-again Christian in Christ Jesus is now to live.
Mm-hmm.
But we're to crucify our old man. And this is not just a one-time crucifixion and we're instantly saved.
No, we die daily.
It is a moment-by-moment process of dying daily to self and allowing Christ to live through you.
It is such an adventure, too. I mean, it's. I can remember, you know, like when I first became a Christian, how I, you know, you try to do it on your own and all that, and you realize that Christ is helping you after a while, but it's, you know, how the Holy Spirit blesses you with an understanding that what you're doing at this time is sin, or what you're about to do at that time is sin, you know, because it's a constant growing process. This is why I can't understand how some folks would go so far as to say they're perfect at one point or they don't have to go any further when we're constantly growing in Christ.
Yes. Well, Paul likens it to a race there in 1 Corinthians 9.
Yeah.
He says, you know, we all can start at the race, at the very starting line,
mm-hmm.
but we have to make it across the finish line before we get the crown of victory.
Yeah, literally.
Crown of immortality. So there's many people who believe that once they have started hand in hand with Christ, they've accepted Christ as their Savior, they've started on the walk of the Christian, or the race, as Paul put it. They're at the starting line, and they take the first step forward.
And that's all they think. Yeah, it's all they figure around doing, and then they're guaranteed heaven.
Yeah, they think that they're instantly saved at that point, and they say, well, I was saved way back in 1964. I can remember the day and the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But what Paul is bringing out here is that salvation is like a race. There's a starting line and there's a finish line. The starting line, everyone has a chance to get to the end, to the finish.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cross the finish line before you get the crown of victory. So the person that takes the first step past the starting line, they're not instantly crowned the victor. There's still an entire race for them to run.
Amen.
And it's the same with us. It's a process of allowing Christ to live in you moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, etc. And it is called being alive unto God.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul says in Galatians 2:19. It's called being dead to sin. That's Romans 6:2. It is also referred to as putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Mm-hmm.
That's Romans 13:14.
Yeah.
It also means that we would be choosing to follow God's will at all times and in all places, so that we would be imitating the life of Christ, who is our great example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." And then what does Peter say? "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth."
Mm.
So Peter says that Christ did not commit sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, and he left us this example that we should follow in these footsteps.
Amen. Well, I guess you could pick that up again after the at the break. I hope you all stayed tuned. We're out of time for this portion of the broadcast, but we're going to be back in a few minutes. So please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast.